We Have Issues, Episode 4. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, it's title. Okay. Welcome to We Have Issues. I'm TJ Hill, joined by Scott Kennison. B. Swizzle is still on assignment, but will join us shortly again. We are going to talk about a smorgasbord of different topics today. Nothing in particular we're going to set on. We're just going to talk about different things going on in the media and in the world these days. So, first of all, Scott, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Things are going good.
Good to see you, man. We had to take a week off last week. Things came up, you know. But we're going to crank another episode out for you guys right now. And hopefully you like it.
And honestly, we're right on schedule. Our goal with this is to do two, maybe three episodes a month.
Yeah.
We're busy. We got schedules going on.
Yeah.
Day jobs, evening jobs.
And when you guys start paying us, we'll do it every week. You know.
Exactly. Get that listener count up. 5-star reviews. Tell people about the podcast. Hey, you know.
Yes, sir.
That's how we get there. So the title is Oh Shit, because for most of the things we're going to talk about tonight, Oh Shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Applies.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you mean I said there'd be universal background checks possibly, and one of my major backers for the whole party got Oh Shit.
Oh Shit.
Better rethink that one.
Dude.
Who's supposed to be guarding that dude in that cell over there that, Oh Shit.
Oh Shit. Was it Bill? Was it Trump? Oh Shit. Was it neither? Interesting. Or to somebody else on the list. I think it was somebody else on the list, maybe. Or maybe it was Clinton. I don't know. Who knows? Nobody ever know. Oh, shit.
Maybe dude just couldn't face the fact that he was going to spend the rest of his life in jail.
I don't think it was suicide. I don't think it was. But, you know, we don't know. We never will know. We can, you know, speculate and talk about what we think might have happened and come up with different theories of how it all went down in there. I mean, there's too many different things that happened. There was a guard that was missing or somebody called off. You don't call off on something like that. It's a high profile case.
Do we want to start with Epstein?
Doesn't matter. We can.
Go right into it with that. Let's get a good conspiracy theory out there.
Let's go.
Science.
Bender,
nanothermite. Was there nanothermite in the cell?
It might have been in the blanket. That's what got him. You know? Nanothermite's in the security guard's coffee, fell asleep. I don't know. The world may never know, but they're not looking into it too hard, are they?
No.
Technically, he got what he got. I mean, dude was dirty. Dirty. Like, dirty R. Kelly dirty. Well, I don't know about that, but dirty, okay? My issue is this. I think that this dude has so much dirt on so many people that have power that there's no telling if he did commit suicide or if he got a hit put on him. Because if he's going to name drop, names we don't even know about. Guys that are so rich, we don't even know who these guys are, could have been involved in this. Somebody said one of the princes from England was involved in this stuff. So who knows what really happened to this dude? Was he going to talk? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe somebody offered him a deal where, hey, we'll give you a lighter sentence, put you in the country club prison if you're talking, give us everybody involved. And they got word, that word got out and boom, gone. Don't know. One less predator is gone. That's all I really know. And that's is what it is. There's a lot of speculation out there that Orange 45 has something to do with it, which I don't know. I don't see Donald as that kind of guy. He's many things, but a child groper and stuff like that. I don't know if I want to go there with him that right now. Bill likes Monica, so I don't know. Did you hear about the picture he had in his house, though?
No.
Oh, my God. They raided his house. Was it the one? It might have been the one overseas or something like that, or down in the Bahamas. There was a picture of Bill Clinton, like a painting of him, in a blue dress with red heels on, sitting in a chair. Dude, that's crazy. But keep in mind now, it was a blue dress. Blue dress and Clinton remind you of one thing only.
Forever now, linked.
That could have been his way of being like, ha ha, F you, Bill. Here's a picture I'm looking at every time. Because there are witnesses that women said he'd been in his house before and saw the picture and were like, what is that about? And he just laughed. Like, it's a little joke I got with Bill or something or what? I don't know. But he's supposed to be a friend of the Clintons and Trump at some point. But all of them, of course, when they found out what he did, I haven't talked to him in years, blase, blase, whatever, whatever. But the fact that you had a picture of a former president in your house with a blue dress on is crazy.
Well, of course, all these people are going to distance themselves from Jeffrey Epstein when all of this comes out. That's the first thing you're going to do, is to put as much distance between him and you as you can. Not going to have very many friends left. And he shouldn't have very many friends left. There's probably some real questions we should be asking that we're not asking. And we're not asking them because of the way that he died. Oh, wow.
That was in his house.
That's some good photoshopping.
That was in his house. That's a painting they drew.
That's an excellent painting.
Yeah, they drew a painting. It wasn't a Photoshop. It was an actual painting on his wall.
I feel like that's more of an inside joke at some point. But there's questions that we should be asking that we're not asking. And therefore, everyone is very, very happy that we're focused on that instead of what we should be focused on. I talked about the Kennedy assassination once, that the government and the FBI and the CIA was very, very, very happy. The questions people were asking about the Kennedy assassination rather than the questions that they should have been asking about the Kennedy assassination. How was security around the president so lax? How was it that Lee Harvey Oswald, who defected to Russia, our greatest enemy at the time, which would be the equivalent of someone today defecting to the Taliban or ISIS, coming back into the country, have a file on him that fills 4 file cabinets, and a guy who's assigned to him, and he's living in the city the president is coming through, and his place of employment's on the motorcade path, and nobody investigated this guy.
Ouch.
And he's been active in pro-communist literature. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
They're very, very happy. They were very, very happy that you were asking those questions and looking in the places that you were instead of where you should have been. So I think it's similar with Jeffrey Epstein. The powers that be are very, very, very happy that this has degenerated into a conversation of, did the Clintons kill him?
Or did 45 kill him?
Or did 45 kill him? Because no one is asking the questions that they should have been, which is, most of the people that knew him had to know what he was into.
Yes.
Whether you're Donald Trump, whether you're Bill Clinton, whether you're one of these power brokers, there is a whole circle of the elite American oligarchy and the oligarchy overseas. The people that truly run this country.
They never tell each other till it's over.
No. They knew. They absolutely knew what this guy was into, or they at least suspected, and nobody blew the whistle.
You're just as guilty.
You are guilty. You're complicit by silence. It's the same way that there's this big conversation going where you got your crazy racist friend, and you tolerate your crazy racist friend because that's just Tony. You know, he's just like that. But you're perpetuating it because you're covering for him. And you're not doing what you should do and calling him out on it. You know what I mean? And you just shouldn't, you know, you let it go. And you're enabling. And you're being an enabler. True. And in this case, you're just sitting there going, I don't want to look too deep into what's going on over there, but I'm pretty sure I know what's going on over there. Yeah. Looks like there's a whole bunch, you know, and you're letting it go. So they're very, very happy about it. I think, honestly, I'm 100% positive the man killed himself in his cell. Now, I'm about 85% positive that you had a man who was powerful, rich, anything he wanted in the world, money was not an object. Rub circles with the elite of the elite. And now he's facing the rest of his life in a jail cell. Jerry Sandusky didn't kill himself because it wasn't exactly the same thing. Now, it'd be devastating for anybody to be realizing that they're going to spend any amount of time in prison, let alone the rest of your life in prison. If you knew you had to spend the rest of your life in prison, in that hideous King of the Mountain dehumanizing environment, you might think about trying to step out too and exit stage left. It's not a very, I mean, is prison a very appealing place in your mind to go for 3 years or 5 years or 6 months? Federal prison? Is it an appealing place to go when people know why you're there? If you're Jeffrey Epstein and now you're there for the rest of your life. And now add on top of this the life that you're leaving behind, that you will never have access to again. This isn't Goodfellas. We're going to be living like kings in the prison cell, cooking full 9-course meals in the prison kitchen. This is prison. Where you're going to get the crap kicked out of you five times a month. And it happened to him. 2 weeks before, they found him in his cell curled in the fetal position because he had been assaulted by another inmate. I think the simplest explanation rings true here. The prospect of what was ahead of him was too much to deal with. What he had been, what he could never be again. The reality of everybody forever looking at him as that person and knowing that there was nothing he could do to escape it became too much.
You know, I dig what you're saying. But when that happens, and you get to the point where you're getting beat up like that or whatever, you're getting assaulted, and that prosecutor comes there and says, look, man, I got a deal for you. I get you out of here and get you in a safe place where you won't get assaulted anymore if you tell them, give me some names. And that word got back out that he's giving the names up. And they said, I don't know. Shh, quiet now. Now, you could be, you're 100% correct. You could have been like, I can't do this no more. They about to do this to me, that to me, and this, and I can't take it no more. If I'm a prosecutor and I know he got beat up like that, I'm going with a deal. Hey, man, I'll keep you safe if you talk. Think about that prosecutor, how many he can hang his hat on that one case and be like Marsha Clark was or whatever back in the day, Johnny Cochran or whoever, Kardashian, on that one case. I brought down all these millionaires, one swell swoop. Offer him a deal. He said, yeah, I'll talk. Got back to the right people. They took him out. I'm a conspiracy theorist kind of guy, so I'm going with the other part where he's going to talk. It took him out. But who took him out? No one ever know. Because it's well covered. It all worked out the way, like you said, with the Kennedy assassination. Everything lined up perfectly for him to go. You know what I mean? Was he on suicide watch?
He was, and then he was taken off. And this is another thing.
Who takes him off? Why? Well, what? Now I'll be asking this question next. What was the reason they had taken off? What did he show from Monday to Tuesday that made us say he's not committing suicide no more? We take him off the watch. It all lined up perfectly for him to be executed.
Well, first off, the prison he was in was ridiculously understaffed. They had, you know, some of the corrections officers on 5 straight days of overtime.
That's all by design.
Yeah. It's still understaffed. That's a big problem in prisons is they're all understaffed to begin with. They don't have enough people to constantly be watching like they should be and be vigilant as they should be.
He wasn't a solitary?
No, they took him out of protective, I think they put him, they were going to move him back towards being in general pop.
See.
But, and you can't just keep him in solitary forever because they've found out that will mentally destroy you.
Who cares? Rape little girls.
I mean.
Destroy him mentally.
I get it. But there's that constitutional clause about cruel and unusual punishments. And
those girls were usually punished too, but go ahead.
I get it. But if we're going to be a nation of laws, we have to follow our laws. We have to be better than the criminals that we're prosecuting. Yeah, otherwise, we're not better.
Really do in prison, though.
We got rid of the Code of Hammurabi and an eye for an eye. Yeah, if we're going to say that we're this enlightened nation with a great human rights record and that we're going to be above some of these things, then we need to be that way in practice, even when we're dealing with the worst of our worst.
I agree with you, but that's not how it really works in the real world, though.
It can be how it really works if you have the courage to be who you say you're going to be.
It can be. You are 100% right. You can be, but it's not.
I'm not saying the guy doesn't need to be punished, but the guy needs to be, no matter how violent, how terrible the crime is, you take a person away so that they can't commit that crime again.
He should have been kept in solitary then, where he could be monitored, but they
can still need to have a semi. Anyway, that's a different discussion. We'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
I said I was 80 to 85% positive that he willingly killed himself.
Okay.
If, and I'm not going to be so naive as to say this isn't a possibility.
If
this was a hit, if this was a silencing action, then I don't think somebody snuck into the cell and killed him and then made it look like a suicide. I think it went very simply like this. Got a message into him through a visitor or an attorney that said, if you talk, it's going to go bad for your family or the people that you care about, whoever it is that he cares about and that he wants protected.
That could be an angle too.
Okay. And they got in and they said, but if they find you dead in your cell, if you kill yourself, if you silence yourself, we will make sure that your family is safe. We'll take care of them. The people you care about, we will take care of them. People have been offered that choice forever. And they've made that choice in the past.
That's a possibility. Still a hit, but it's a possibility.
Yes. If it was a hit, I don't know who would have put it out. I don't think Bill Clinton and Hillary have the juice. I don't think they have the juice anymore to go do that.
They got the juice still. Believe that. They got the juice. They got plenty of juice left.
The problem is they're retired and they're not power brokers anymore. Hillary Clinton can't pull a lever of power. Bill Clinton can't pull a lever of power.
But you don't want your name out there if you did something crooked.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they don't necessarily have the ability to go move those levers to take care of someone's family anymore. They can't do it. If someone's doing it, it's someone you're not. I'll say this too. If there's a hit that was put out on him, it's someone you've never heard of.
That's what I said earlier.
It's part of the quote unquote deep state.
It's somebody we don't know about.
Yeah. Dude, there is supposedly some Christian church group that is pulling the levers of power behind the scenes that you've never heard of. And all the presidents meet with them. They've thanked them in the past.
Believe that with 1,000% of
them. And the church group is a cover, but then they say they're about, you know, God, but the real thing is about pulling power levers behind the
churches nowadays anyway.
Right. I'm getting dangerously close to talking about an Illuminati, but if there's an Illuminati, they don't call themselves the Illuminati.
Okay, so it is maybe not that necessarily, but there are organizations or whatever you want to call it, groups out there that are behind the scenes pulling the strings. And then you're going to say Illuminati, whatever, but I'm sure they don't call themselves that. But at the same time, dude, it could be something with Key Bank or like Chase Bank got a boat full of cocaine. I mean, come on, man. Look, there's people out there pulling strings, and the people pulling strings are people you don't see every day who are not in the news, who are billionaires times over, and we don't even know who they are.
We know the name of Julius Caesar, okay? We know Julius Caesar's name. You know what we don't know? All of Caesar's creditors. So we know that there was a triumvirate. We know there was Pompey, and there was Crassus, and there was Caesar. Crassus was the richest man in Rome, allegedly. But he went to people to get money. And Caesar went to people to get money. There are people behind the scenes always who are putting people in power.
Always have been.
The people that you know, and you know, there's people that you hear about. And then there's the people who are so rich that you never hear about them. They don't want to be in the public image. Nope. But they're still the ones pulling the strings from behind the scenes.
That's how you control stuff.
There are a lot of times where you have front men who do what they are told by the people behind the scenes. Is there a real Illuminati out there of 20 people who meet in a room and decide everything in America? No. Are there a whole bunch of people who may pull strings in their corners of the country behind the scenes who are the real power brokers who really decide things that we never hear of? Most assuredly. So in this case, maybe there was someone who got a message to him who said, you take this route, we take care of the people that you care about. I'll say there's a 15% chance of that. And as I've gotten older, as I've gotten less distrusting, I've come to believe in, you know, Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is probably the correct explanation. And in this case, the simplest explanation is you have a man who's fallen from such great heights, who was so powerful that he was going to live the rest of his life without any power, without any luxuries. getting his ass kicked on a regular basis, respected by no one. And he decided that he was going to go out on his terms. And he didn't see a way to win. He didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel. He didn't see an offer coming. Not like in 2008 when he got a plea bargain. His request for bail and piles of cash and jewels was denied. Okay? And he saw no way out of it. No way at all to escape ending his life in that jail cell in that situation. No way to get back to what he had.
Oh, he wasn't getting back what he had this time.
And he said, it's not that far of a leap to say he couldn't deal with that and he chose to end it. And so what's more believable? What's more reasonable than a man who had lost all of that, facing what he was facing with no real way to win and escape, chose to kill himself at 66 years old and not go through the rest of his life in that situation? Or that some combination of the Clintons, one of the English royal family, some Saudi princes, Donald Trump, and some deep state actors hired someone to sneak in, kill him, make it look like he hung himself, control the body, fake the autopsy, keep it all under wraps, and make everyone at the prison look the other way, get rid of the security cameras that would have shown the man entering the prison, leaving the prison, heading towards the cell, bury all of that, and make that go away. What's more believable?
Two.
One of those things is not believable
version,
at all.
Version two for me.
One of those things
I think
is not possible to pull off. What's
the most believable for me is the example you gave where somebody told him, hey, you talk, it's done. And I think he did it. If that's the case, we're both right. He did it himself.
Yep.
But it was still a hit.
Option three is believable. I tend to follow option one. Option two?
Option two
that somebody snuck in the cell and killed him?
Well,
it didn't happen.
If option two did happen, just say it's far-fetched that it did happen. It was definitely somebody at the prison that did it, if that was the case. But we're not going to go speculate that prison guard went in there and murdered this guy. I think the option three is probably the best one for me, where somebody got to him and said, look, man, we're going to, you got a sister or brother? You got kids or no?
I'd have to look that up.
Well, whoever. Yeah. He got somebody he cares about.
So he's got someone he cares about.
So exactly. It's always somebody always vulnerable some kind of way. So they got to his weak spot, whoever it is, and said, look, here's a picture of so-and-so. We're going to cut their heads off the next time and come see you or something, or whatever the case may be. And they said, okay, you need to take care of this yourself. And there it is.
Yeah.
But the fact he's taking off the suicide watch and all that stuff, it just makes you wonder, who did all this? Why? Take him off watch.
They can only keep you on suicide watch for so long.
How long? Would
this they got him in front of a psychiatrist. They said they thought he was, you know.
That's all bullshit. Oh shit. But anyways, have you ever seen The Boys on Amazon?
Have not.
Okay, it's a show called The Boys on Amazon Prime. And I started watching a couple nights. I think it was like 8 or 10 episodes. And I started watching a couple nights ago. And I think I got hooked in like the first 3 to 5 minutes. So it's basically superheroes all over the planet. And they are ran by a corporation. So say you have the Flash's powers. Say I have the Hulk's powers. And say Chase Bank is in charge. So they hire us. Save people and stuff, and we do movies, we advertise, all this stuff. We're making a bunch of money because we're advertising. And so we bring people into the fold, superpowers or whatever. So I'm watching this, and this nerdy guy's talking to his girlfriend, and he's on the sidewalk, she's on the street curb. So he's talking to her, and all of a sudden the camera slows down, this gust of wind goes by, and his face is like moving like this, like it's something real fast going by. And you see trickles of blood hit his cheek. And the camera turns and you see bones and all this blood. And you hear a splat when it goes full speed again. And the speedster has ran through his girlfriend and disintegrated her.
Ooh.
And then he looks at him and said, I'm sorry, I can't stop. and boom, speeds off. And a guy's holding his girlfriend's hand still, while her arms are still, like, her forearms are still in his hands. I'm like, what the hell, this watch? So
Black Mirror thinks you might have overdone it.
Dude, it's ridiculous. So this guy, he wants revenge now against the guy, against the superhero that killed his girlfriend, whatever. And he, this other guy comes out of nowhere and shows him a video of the dude with the speedster talking. He was like, hey, man, you ran through a bitch the other day, huh? He said, yeah, man, she just splattered everywhere and laughing. He said, he's laughing at her. She killed her and laughing. Offered him $45,000 to shut up and go away. I mean, it's just really deep. I'll tell you one more point of the show and show how dark it gets. The one character, Homelander, he's like Superman, basically. Fly, x-ray vision, laser eyes, all that stuff. So, what's the chick from Elizabeth Shue, I think it is? Invention of Babysitting? She's in there. She's like running it, okay? And so she's talking to the mayor of a city.
Adventures in Babysitting. There is a classic 80s movie.
It was great, man. So she's talking to the mayor of a city, and she's like, I want this guy to come to my city because, you know, he can make crime drop about, what, 10% or whatever. It's net. And she said, well, how much do you want? How much? She said, $300 million a year. And the mayor's like, no way. She said, I'll give you $200 million. No, $300 million. So then he came back and forth, and she calls him on the phone and says, $230. And he's like, all right, cool. On a jet heading back to his city, right? His son's in the plane, his wife's in the plane, whole family's in the plane. And the son looked out the window like, Dad, isn't that isn't that your friend? And this is a Homelander guy flying next to the plane. And so he's looking at the kid, and he's waving at the kid, and his eyes light up. He shoots the plane out of the sky. And then the girl found out, the Elizabeth Shue character found out about him, like, they said there were like laser marks on the side of the plane, like it cut in half. And she was like, did you shoot the plane down? And he goes, well, how do I talk to you? And that's the way he talked to you. You deserve respect. He got an infatuation with this chick. I don't know what it is yet. I'm only episode 4. But it is probably one of the most darkest things I've ever seen on TV in recent years. Because it's superheroes, but they're corrupt.
I feel like you got a Star Trek Rack of Khan space seed thing going on. So when they introduced Khan in Star Trek in Space Seed in that episode, they talk about, you know, superior ability breeds superior ambition, but you also get where Khan disregards all of the regular humans who aren't genetically enhanced as beneath him in a subspecies that he doesn't have to treat with the same respect. That happens in Wrath of Khan too. And I'm wondering if they're going to go with everything you've said, where these superheroes feel that anyone who's not a super is beneath them and they don't have to treat them as a real life form.
Well, so far in the show, they're treating citizens like fans, because they make it, their superheroes are making movies too. They're advertising, kind of like Marvel Comics. You got commercials out and cereal and stuff, and they're making money like offers like crazy. Millions and millions of dollars revenue coming in. So when it looked at the negative light, it hurts their stock. So like the one girl in there, she's like at power where she can light stuff up. And this guy was trying to rape this girl or whatever in the alley, and she stopped him, beat him up, whatever, this and that. And somebody caught it on camera. And at first they were mad about it, but then her stock went up and it was like, this is great. People like you because this, and you were wearing a uniform and you did it and appreciate you and this and that. So let's keep going with that. And it's like, what am I watching here? But basically, the boys are a group of vigilantes who are trying to stop the supers because they know the truth about what they do, like how many human casualties they have, and they cover it up. They're trying to expose them for doing that. But it's going to be tough because these guys got superpowers. But they killed one of them, though, because the guy was like invincible. Like he shot him with a 50 caliber and he bounced off of him. So he's like, how do we get this? And plus, he's invisible. Got him in the cage, locked him up. When he got electrocuted, he passed out. So they got smart. The guy's watching a thing about turtles, and he was like, what to do? So he shocked him, and then he woke up, and he's like, you guys think you're funny. He let him out and said, we're going to blow you up. He was like, yeah, right. And the guy whose girlfriend got killed, he was trying to let him go. He's walking out, and he turned, just hit the button, boom, and dude blew up, splattered. It's the goriest shit I've ever seen. It's very gory. It's beyond cable, man. It's beyond cable TV. Like, you see stuff on HBO where they cut people's head off in The Walking Dead. It's gorier than The Walking Dead. Now, you've seen The Walking Dead before. This is nastier, more bloodier than The Walking Dead is.
You know, that's an interesting thing that you brought up, is that TV's gone to this Game of Thrones, and I really think it might have been Game of Thrones that triggered it with Ned Stark's execution. And, oh crap, if that guy can die, who can die? So you started going to this shock level.
Yeah.
How Black Mirror does it. How much can we shock you? How disturbed can we leave you feeling at the end of this show?
Yeah, man, that's TV is going nowadays.
But I almost feel like everything in society is a pendulum. And I feel like it's swung so far that it's going to be on its way back. You remember TV in the late 80s and the early 90s was about how, in the 90s were the shock jock era with Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony. Mm-hmm. TV had Married with Children. Simpsons got kind of crazy for a minute. You had all these shows going as far raunchy as they could go.
Yeah.
And then it swung back. It swung back. And you started getting in the late 90s, you got shows like Friends. You got Seinfeld. And it was cleaner. It was back to classic sitcoms.
I don't know.
And it swung back. And then TV took this dark, serialized turn.
Yeah.
And I think eventually it's going to swing back again.
I don't know if
it might not go as dark and shock value.
Even if something as far as wrestling now, like we talked about wrestling, we did a podcast with wrestling before. And even with wrestling now, they're going back to the darker. They're kind of going back away from PG. Now, you saw earlier they announced NXT is going to be on regular TV now.
Yep.
That's going to compete head to head with AEW. Because they come on Wednesdays night in TNT. They're going head to head with them. They're not going Raw and SmackDown with them, but they're going NXT, which is a stronger brand.
That's the smarter move.
It's a brilliant move.
And it's the move that will compete with the product that AEW is going to put out.
It's a brilliant move. But these shows now, like I saw something a while back on the news. Remember there was a bombing at an airport in Turkey, I think it was? And they showed the bombing on the news at 6 o'clock. I'm like, where are we doing right now? But we're showing this guy blow people up. No blurring out. They showed that guy blow up on TV at 6 p.m. What are we doing?
You know,
that's the news, man.
And that's again why I say that pendulum can only swing so far.
It's crazy.
And at some point, it's got to go back the other way. People at some point are just, look, I came real close to not watching The Walking Dead anymore at the end of, I forget what season it was, but I actually think I made a tweet about it. I said, man, if the group can't get a win at some point, I'm done watching this show. Because I don't want to. Firefly is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And I was talking with a friend about it once, and I said, and we both agreed, whatever the episode is, at the end of the episode, you feel good. They leave you feeling good. There's an optimism to it. There's these people trying to scrape out a living on the edges of civilization because they don't want to. They're anarchists, essentially. They're trying. They live in a gray area where maybe they'll break the law, but they're good people in the end. You know, they'll bend the law. But they're morally decent people just trying to live on the outskirts of society and keep flying. At the end of that episode, you always feel good because of the camaraderie and love between that main group of characters. And I liked feeling good. I liked watching an episode and feeling good. I watch Star Trek. At the end of an episode of Star Trek, unless it's Deep Space Nine, I always feel good. I feel good. It's an uplifting thing. The end of an episode of Walking Dead, I felt like shit. A lot of times I felt like my soul had been punched. And while that's cool for a moment as a change, week in, week out, you come to identify with these characters. Week in, week out, at the end of it, if you feel like you're just waiting for your soul to be ripped out again. Look at The Flowers was an amazing moment in TV. But then you just kept going. And I have never watched another episode of Walking Dead after Glenn got, and it wasn't even Glenn getting killed by Negan. It was Rick on the ground being told to cut Carl's hand off. And that moment was so real and so visceral, I was done. I couldn't watch another episode. Never have watched another episode since then. Probably won't watch another episode.
It's kind of like how I felt after watching Infinity. The way it ended, because that was like one of the first times I remember watching a movie, a superhero movie, where the bad guy won. And I know they would continue the series a year later, but at that moment in time, watching that movie and watching that smirk on his face, like, I just killed half the Avengers and half the universe. And I'm smiling about it. And it ended with the way that music played, like it was like a harmonious type music. And it was like, doom. And I was like, what the hell did I just watch? That's what gripped everybody in so much with that, is because the way it ended, the bad guys never win.
Nope.
And he did.
Yeah.
And that set everything off. It was crazy after that.
So that kind of stuff, but I feel like these dark TV shows where the goal is to leave you disturbed at the end and leave you shook, that's going to run its course. It's cool when it's the alternative, okay? When Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Breaking Bad are the only shows going that way, they're cool. But when every show is going that way, you're going to look for the show that doesn't leave you feeling like you've been punched in the soul at the end of it, you know, like your heart's been squeezed. So I feel like that pendulum has to move back at some point. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, one more example. Like, so Star Wars, The Last Jedi. There's a moment in there where Luke tells Rey, this isn't going to go the way you think it is. What do you think I'm going to do? Walk out of here, get in my X-Wing, grab my laser sword and take on the entire empire by myself. And I think he says laser sword. I don't think he even says lightsaber, which is just get the word, grab my lightsaber and take on the entire empire by myself. Yes. You're Luke Skywalker. That's what I want to see. I know you're going for realism here, Disney. And then you went with the scene where Luke projects himself as a force projection to take on the entire First Order by himself, but it's not real. And then he dies from the effort. But he allows them to escape in his heroic sacrifice. I don't want to see that. I want to see Luke Skywalker do Luke Skywalker things and find a way to save the day by himself with a lightsaber and defeat the entire First Order. That's why we love Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because it leaves you feeling heroic at the end.
What's the next one coming out? What is it?
Christmas.
Skywalker what?
Rise of Skywalker.
What is that about?
Lots of theories. I'm not sure I like any of them, but one of the theories is that the Jedi are going to die, the last Jedi. The Jedi are gone, but the Force users will be reborn and they will be called Skywalkers
instead of
Jedi.
I don't like that.
You're a Skywalker.
No, I don't like that.
And that's where the Rise of Skywalker, like Rise of the Jedi, Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
I hate that theory.
I don't like that.
Another theory is that Rey is going to be revealed to be a secret Skywalker, because that's a Rian Johnson, J.J. Abrams fight. J.J. Abrams was clearly setting it up for her to be a Kenobi or a Skywalker or something, right? By touching the lightsaber and having a connection.
Better than the first one.
And then Rian Johnson came back and said, you're Rey Kenobody. And then we think J.J. Abrams, now that he's back, is going to come back and possibly say, no, you were a Skywalker all along. Kylo Ren was lying to you.
That fight scene they had when they killed the one dude, that was awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't know. I hate to say this. I love Star Wars. And I was the guy who was excited about seeing Star Wars continue. This thing is such a clusterfuck that I have zero desire to see episode 9.
Is it oh shit?
I really don't. Yeah, oh shit. Hey, we're Disney. We bought the most popular American film franchise ever. The most profitable American film franchise ever. We're going to make money hand over fist. Oh, shit. We killed it.
My daughter texted me earlier today, and she was very upset. She's very, very upset right now. What did she text me? Yes. So Spider-Man isn't in the MCU anymore. I go, what? I'll explain it more when I get home because I want to rant about it. So stupid how a company Sony, but it is 50-50 in Disney. Disney said no or something like that. I guess Disney came back and said it's 50-50. Sony said no. You go ahead and create control, but we're still, you're getting 5%. We're taking the rest of it, 95%. And Disney said, well, we want 50% because we're making money off this stuff and we're doing it right. And Sony was like, no. So according to my daughter, which is expert at this stuff, Tom Holland has two more Spider-Man stuff on his contract, but supposedly they won't be with Marvel in universe anymore, which sucks because now you just clusterfucked everything up.
Well, I mean, we're on this detour here before we get back to our final topic here. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is in trouble, man. Phase four is a hot mess of nothing that I want to watch.
Well, here's the thing. Phase four, you have Black Widow, correct?
Yeah, I have no desire to watch that TV series.
It's not a pre-sequel, but it's like in between Captain America, Winter Soldier, not Winter Soldier, Civil War, and Infinity. That's what's supposed to be said, okay? The girl that played Paige in the wrestling movie.
Okay.
She's going to be in it. I believe they're setting it up to her be the new Black Widow when said and done. I think. That's coming out. What else?
And let me rephrase this. It's not that I don't care about a Black Widow series. I wouldn't care about a Hawkeye series. I don't care about an entire TV series made around supporting characters. And Hawkeye and Black Widow are supporting characters. Well,
Black Widow's a movie. It won't be a TV series.
Okay, I don't care about a movie about a supporting character.
Hawkeye's a series and The Falcon and the Winter Soldier is a series.
I don't care about that. And two characters that I never cared about, the Winter Soldier. I found him boring. I might care about a Loki series. Well, it can be very interesting.
Well, Loki's supposed to be traveling through time.
Right. It's a very interesting character. He's traveling through time. It's Loki. Loki is interesting.
From what I understand the story is he's going through time just going like, oh, Kenny need an assessment? Not today. Yep. Kenny lives. Now what? Doing this shit like that. So it's going to be interesting to watch Loki.
Yeah. The Winter Soldier never cared about Bucky.
Here's the
Falcon
problem.
Never cared about Falcon.
Here's the problem they're doing.
WandaVision? Vision is boring to me. Always was.
I don't know what that's about.
Scarlet Witch? Tons of potential. A Scarlet Witch series.
She almost killed Thanos.
Paired with Doctor Strange? Like, you paired them wrong. WandaVision, I don't care about. Scarlet Witch with Doctor Strange?
That's what
I love it.
She's going to be in part two. What I'm saying, she's going to be in part two.
Yeah. But WandaVision? Yeah. WandaVision, I could care less about.
Here's the thing. Going into the future now, yes, mutants are coming. They said that, I saw this a couple of days ago, that Avengers 5 will feature Wolverine with the Avengers. Who's going to be Wolverine by that time?
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Mm-hmm. But they're doing a House of M storyline in the movies before they do that. So it'll be Avengers versus the X-Men at some point in theaters. Coming soon. Here's the problem. Phase 4 is going to be so boring that they said what they want to do is build these characters up first. So I expect a lot of Easter eggs coming up. And they said they're using this Phase 4 to set up the next Avengers.
They're trying to make you care about characters that you don't care about that you don't know about.
Yes.
The Doctor Strange movie, I want to see it. Yep. Okay. A Black Panther sequel, I want to see it.
That's coming too.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I want to see it.
The Thor.
I love Thor movies as a character.
He's going to be in the Guardians.
And I think I'm going to be okay with it.
But there's a new Thor.
It's Natalie Portman.
Yes. I don't know how it's going to work out.
So here's the thing. They did this in the comic book world.
I know that.
And it bombed.
So I'm saying.
Jane Foster as Thor bombed.
And they're saying one of the possible ways that she became Thor is the snap.
I don't mind this concept. Natalie Portman is a fantastic actress, and I think she could pull it off. I kind of like the idea of it can be done very, very, very well. I'm afraid that there's going to be the toxic fan rejection of it.
Yeah, you'll have that.
But I think this can be done very well. And as long as you don't have the return of drunken fat Thor, who's given up on everything. You know, Thor's not worthy. Thor, that's Thor's character arc. Today he's worthy, tomorrow he's not worthy.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I think this can work. Thor is my favorite MCU character, so I'm excited for...
Is he your character, favorite character period, or favorite character because in the movies? Because of the way he's portraying the character.
Well, I am not a comic book fan.
Okay.
So he is my favorite character.
He's the funniest guy out there.
Yeah.
I like him.
Look, Chris Hemsworth has done a fantastic job with that character.
Excellent job.
So, and I mean, he's brought that character to life, given out a life of his own, yeah. and pairing him with the Guardians.
And he signed off many more, I think.
Yeah. The Asgardians of the Galaxy will be fantastic.
Yeah.
Pairing him with them is a brilliant move because him and Chris Pratt will play well off of each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It'll be phenomenal. So
Batista in the background making a little commentary in there.
The MCU, I don't know where they're going with it.
I think they'll be okay because they haven't really bombed us yet. So we'll see.
I feel like this is a break. This is a break to try to cancel fatigue. Let the series breathe. But I've said this before, I'll say it again. It wouldn't matter what was in phase four. I am burned out on superhero movies. The Guardians of the Galaxy, Doctor Strange 2, that can pull me back. Thor, Love and Thunder. I probably won't see any of these in the theater. I'll probably wait for them to come out and catch them one night on, I won't have Disney streaming service. So wherever I can find them. I got to buy them off Amazon.
Dude, actually, that's not a bad deal they got going.
It's a fantastic deal. And I will pay more for less elsewhere.
It's Disney, Hulu, because Disney bought Hulu now. Who they're buying every fucking thing right now. And ESPN Plus for $12.99.
It's a fantastic deal. Now, can I skip ahead to where we usually end the show and go with my I have issues with rant?
Go for it.
I have issues with Disney. I have issues with the mouse.
Oh, shit.
I have issues with the uninterrupted growth of the mouse and the fact that no one in our government has the balls to stand up to Disney and say, we will Sherman antitrust your ass and break you into the pieces that you're supposed to be.
Oh, shit.
It is completely fucking absurd that one company owns ESPN, ABC, Fox Studios, Disney Studios, Hulu. They have, and I'm leaving stuff out here. I know I'm leaving stuff out.
Oh, shit.
After the recent merger and the acquisition of Fox and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Disney Studios contained something like 45% of the films released last year.
Oh, shit.
So how far of a stretch do you think it is for Disney to call up theaters and say, if you want the rights to distribute Guardians of the Galaxy 3, you will not show our competitors' movies?
Oh, shit.
That's why Sony is taking a hard line on Spider-Man.
Oh, shit.
Because they have to play for keeps.
Damn.
How tough. Look, Disney is now going, they own 40% of the movies, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They got the catalog. Hey, Netflix. You don't get to show any of those.
Oh,
you have severely winged Netflix, which is why they are so much investing in original programming. Amazon Prime. We're not going to let you sell and distribute these movies.
Oh, shit.
What is the value of Amazon Prime at this point? What is the value of Netflix? What is the value of any of these other streaming services? Take it one step further. Hulu has Hulu Live, which offers you TV.
Which now Disney owns.
So how does AT&T now compete with that? It really can't. How does your regular cable companies compete? How does YouTube TV compete with it? And it sounds fantastic to you at the moment. I'm going to get all of this for $12.99 and I'll add Hulu Live and I'll be cheaper at the moment until they drive them out of business. And then there's no competition. And then they can charge you whatever they want to charge you. The mouse's goal with these moves, it's calculated. They bought Hulu. They bought Fox. ABC. They did not buy Fox Studios to be able to give you X-Men in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They didn't do it to be able to produce these intellectual properties that you so much want to see. They did it because they see that the future is streaming. And they see that they got into the game late. And they saw that the only way to close that lead that these other streaming services have is to control the content and wing them by being able to take the content away. It's a race for exclusive content. And if you're Disney and you can make ABC and all of its IP, ESPN and all of its networks, Fox Studios and Disney Studios, and make them all and control 40% of the films distributed, which then gives you leverage over the distribution network and the theaters. If you can make that all exclusive to your streaming service, you can take your competitors out without firing a shot. And then once you don't have competitors, you can charge whatever you want to. Jeez. And if you think I'm crazy, go look at Andrew Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller, because they did the same thing. Carnegie bought steel mills just to shut them down. A lot of these IPs that Disney has bought that are underperforming, they're not going to siphon them back off to other studios to do stuff with. They're just going to shut them down. There it is. ABC, ESPN, Touchstone Pictures, Marvel, Lucasfilm, A&E, The History Channel, Lifetime, Pixar, Hollywood Records, Vice Media, Core Publishing, and now they have 21st Century Fox Studios and Hulu.
Star Wars, The Muppets, Marvel Cinema, Universe, Disney, Princess. Oh my, Pirates of the Caribbean, Winnie the Pooh. Oh, Indiana Jones, Grey's Anatomy. They own TV shows, man. Isn't there supposed to be a rule against monopolies and shit like that?
There is. We have the Sherman Antitrust Act. No one wants to use it. You know why? Because Disney has made massive contributions to every single senator and congressman sitting in there, Republican or Democrat.
Long game.
So, yeah. When Disney has bought them all. Our businesses have bought them all. That's why we haven't used Sherman Antitrust Act in years, and we're not going to.
There it is right there.
Disney, and props to Sony for fighting that. But Disney should not have been allowed to make any acquisition. They shouldn't have been allowed to buy Hulu. They shouldn't have been allowed to buy 20th Century Fox. Not only should they not be allowed to grow one inch bigger, they should be smashed into 1,000 pieces. ABC should be separate. ESPN should be separate. Not ABC, ESPN. ABC, ESPN, its own company. Fox 20th Century Studios should be siphoned off. Lucasfilm should be siphoned off. Disney should be shattered into its core components, and the only thing left of Disney should be Disney. There is a House of M being built. The House of the Mouse. And maybe I'm crazy, but 20 years from now, 100 years from now, you may be living in the United States of Disney. Disney is evil. It is insidious. It is snaking its tendrils into everything. Disney is the enemy of everybody.
Well, there we have it. All right, on to our last segment here, which is
Eric Garner.
Oh, shit.
Officer Dan Pantaleo has been fired. 5 years later, he is no longer a cop. It took 5 years for this guy to no longer be a cop. And TJ, I know you have thoughts on this because I saw some of it on your Facebook. And, I agree with a lot of what's going on.
Here's the thing, man. You killed a guy. And they can say all they want to about, the whole thing with Kaepernick and all that stuff like that. It boils down to this. This cop, not all cops, this cop murdered this guy. He was selling cigarettes, whatever he was doing. He choked him out to the point where he actually cut his circulation off and he killed the man. It was five years ago. I don't know exactly how many officers were involved, but I know he was the one that choked the guy out. And this officer has a history, former officer, yay, has a history of shady arrest, maybe.
He strip searched two African-American guys.
But naked.
In broad daylight, in the middle of the road.
Yeah. I mean, you don't do shit like that and call yourself a good cop.
The city paid $30,000 to settle that one.
I have police that are friends, white, black, Hispanic. So I'm not against police. I feel like cops like this give good cops like my friends a bad name. And a lot of people feel like all cops are lumped into that. Into that ball of, oh, he pulled me over. He about to do this to me, do that to me. It's not all cops, but these particular assholes right here make all of them look bad. And it shouldn't be that way. But you don't know what you're getting when you get pulled over. You don't know if you're getting that guy that's doing his job, trying to go home at the end of his shift, or you're getting the guy that's like, I'm about to fuck with this guy because he's black today, or because he's Hispanic, or because it's a female, or because he may be gay, or whatever the case may be. You don't know. So some of these people out here abusing the badge and using it to get over on stuff. Like, I hate when cops run the fucking red light, man, for no reason. It's bullshit. And it really is against the law. I asked one of my cop friends, and he said, if a sergeant see you doing that, you're getting your ass chewed out. But back to Eric Garner. The guy was, did his family get any money over that?
Not yet.
Okay. They probably will now. We'll see, but probably another 5 years or so before you get any money off of that. Which money isn't the issue here. It's at this point, because he's gone, bringing awareness to these crooked-ass cops that do stuff like this all the time and get away with it. Now, this guy's getting fired. Got fired. Now, I want to see him do jail time. It's a murder. It wasn't to the point where the guy had a gun or a knife. And I hear the argument all the time. Well, if he didn't resist, you know, it's not always a cut and dry. In some cases, yes. If you don't, if you do resist, you might have a situation where you get hurt. But you've seen videos where the person is being compliant and they still get fucked up. Explain that. No one can. You got, this is the point I'm making.
Video of a white cop shot a white dude. He was on his knees making him, and he's going, please don't shoot me. I don't want to die. He fell over. He fell over and the cop put five into him with an AR.
Okay. So here's the thing.
And he even told him before he did it, he goes, you screw up again, you're going to die.
You have police out here who are complete assholes and use that badge and that gun to do whatever they want to do. And no one is stopping them or hold them accountable. It's not about, oh, white cop shot black guy. It's at a point where it's about citizens, normal citizens being abused by some police who use that badge as power.
So here's the thing. And you brought up a great point. I hear people all the time say 90% of cops are good. 99% of cops are good. 99 out of 100 are good. I don't believe you. Here's why. Not saying that 99 out of 100 cops are bad. 99 out of 100 people aren't good.
That's true.
90 out of 100 people aren't good. Okay? Cops are people. They're people like me and you. They go to work every day and they put their life on the line every single day to protect and serve. And for that reason, we do give them more leeway. That leeway, though, has to have a limit.
Yes.
There are points where that leeway is no longer allowed. There are points where the oversight committee has to look and just say, this is a bad cop and we need to get him or her off of the street. And the thing is, there's this blue line where the police protect their own. And I understand the desire to protect your own. The change has to come within the police force. I said earlier in the night, you know, you cover for your racist friend and you say, that's just Tony.
Yeah.
He's like that. The way you stop that is you stop clamming up and covering for that guy and you call him out. Police have to sit there and be honest and stop covering when they see an officer write 12 tickets and they're attitude tickets.
That's true.
If you know that your partner's writing attitude tickets, step up and do something about it. I got a ticket once. I saw the cop sitting on the side of the road. I went by him at 75 miles an hour. I saw him. The cop wasn't in the greatest shape. I saw him lumber back to his car and go to get in his car. I knew he was coming after me. I was in the left lane. I was at least, by the time he got back in his car, a half mile up on him. Before he even completely got his car started and started coming after me, I pulled over to the left and waited for him to catch up to me before the lights even came on. I was guilty. I broke the law. I was speeding. He wrote me a ticket for speeding, and he wrote me a ticket for failure to yield. And he wrote me the ticket for failure to yield because I yielded to the left instead of the right. When I showed up at the courthouse, they said, to pay the ticket, they said, oh yeah, he does that all the time, and we don't know why. That's the kind of stuff the force, even that's minor, you gotta stand up and stop that. Then you got major stuff. Daniel Pantaleo was an officer who had a history of multiple cases of taking the law into his own hands and pushing around the edges and going too far. In hindsight, the warning signs were there that eventually this guy was going to go too far. Not necessarily kill someone, but he had a history of violating civil rights. Criminal charges in the cases were both dismissed in the prior two cases. And he was still an officer. He was an officer until in an attempt to arrest Eric Garner, he choked him out and kept choking him out after he was down, no longer a threat, and saying, I can't breathe, and struggling to breathe and trying to live. Now I've heard the arguments. Yes, if Eric Garner was in better shape, that might not have killed him. That's immaterial. Had they tased him, it might not have killed him, is immaterial. Yes, Eric Garner was resisting arrest, and he was resisting arrest. For the record, I'll say it because Brian doesn't, and that's his catchphrase. For the record, because Brian's not here. If a cop comes up to you and says you're under arrest, you don't have the option to tell him no. You don't have the option to walk away. When a cop says you're under arrest, you have one option. Put your hands behind your back. Let him put the cuffs on. Go to jail. You're going to get booked. You're going to get processed. You'll get bail. And then you can fight it within the legal system. Maybe you don't have the resources to. And maybe you're going to take that one on the chin. But at that point, why any of us think we have the option to tell the cop that we're not going to jail or that we're not under arrest is absurd. But it's also immaterial. Because you know what? A cop's job is to arrest someone and have them alive when they're arrested, unless they are a threat to the cop or to someone else. Mm-hmm. That's when, and this is my opinion, and I know there's legal experts who will tell me that the law might say otherwise. I feel that a cop is authorized to use lethal force when they are in danger or when someone else is in danger. So I've come out on record on this. The Mike Brown shooting in Ferguson. I support the officer's decision in that case.
Is this when he reached into the car?
He had reached into the car before and tried to get the gun. The officer had tried multiple times to disarm the situation. And Mike Brown put his head down and charged the officer again.
I've had arguments with people about that one, where they stand with Mike Brown. And if indeed he put his hands in that car, I would have given him the same thing the cop gave him.
And the cop didn't even shoot him then. It was after he got out of the car and told him to get in the ground, he put his head down and bull charged him again.
I would have shot him when he reached into that car, I would have shot him.
There is a certain point where the officer has to assume, if he's struggling with you, you can't wait until he has the gun to do something.
No.
So it's not a cut and dry situation. It's not that clear.
No.
In the Eric Garner, Daniel Pantaleo situation, you had an officer who had a history of making mistakes. You had an officer who had a history of being power hungry. You can identify these things. This is some of the reforms that the police departments have to make. They have to look at identifying psychological tells earlier and weeding out these people who are just there for a power trip.
Now, when they have police join the force, you have to have a psychological evaluation, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
But do they have to have to repeat this? Do they have to repeat this?
I don't think so.
See, my thing is just, I think they need to. It's like, okay, my girlfriend's Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic, they drug test you randomly. Random. Out of nowhere. Boom. Hey, come here. What you doing today? Come on, take a drug test. But. Oh, you're on vacation for a week? Take a drug test. Randomly. Not, hey, tomorrow you're getting a drug test.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you walk in, you punch in. Hey, Scott, come here. Drug test.
Yep.
Right there on the spot. I believe police departments need to have psychological evaluations randomly. Don't anybody know. Come in for your shift. Get your coffee. Hey, come here for a minute. You go in a room, psychiatrist right there, like, what the hell? Psyche valve, let's go.
Yeah, so you can't prepare for it.
No.
But you know what? How often do you see after this happens, they go look at the officer's Facebook page and they find the stuff on there?
Yeah. Yeah.
This stuff is out there. I'm not talking about an invasion of privacy to where you should be, you know, like creeping every officer's Facebook page. What I'm saying is the signs are there. The reports are there. The tells are there. There's things that you can evaluate and watch and see this before it happens. And with Daniel Pantaleo, he had two instances where he clearly took the law into his own hands. You settled with a cash settlement for one of them, and both of the criminal cases charges in the other cases were dismissed. Two is not an accident. Twice is not an accident.
No.
Okay. And you know, I say that in the golf course all the time. The first time you hit into me, okay, it's an accident. The second time you hit into me, it's not an accident anymore. I don't think that Daniel Pantaleo intended to kill Eric Garner. So I would say that it's a manslaughter. Someone died as a result of his actions, and it is a criminal case. He should have been tried criminally. He probably should have been convicted of manslaughter. Because to reach a conviction of murder, there has to be an intent to kill. Murder two is you intended to kill, but you didn't think it out. Murder one is you intended to kill and you thought it out for days and executed a plan. Manslaughter is you committed an action that resulted in somebody dying. I think Eric Garner is guilty of manslaughter. Not Eric Garner. I think Daniel Pantaleo should have been charged with manslaughter. There's a movie I will not see. Matrix 4 with Keanu Reeves. I will not see it. No desire to see it. Won't see it. Nope. Not happening. But, yeah, there's a lot of reform that we need. And look, just if anyone's still listening who's pro-cop, let me tell you something. I'm pro-cop. I have friends who are police. I have two good friends who are joining the police force very shortly. I know multiple people who are police officers, okay? They risk their lives every day. They want to come home to their family. I want them to come home to their family at the end of the night every single day. And sometimes they're going to preemptively discharge their gun. But you got to look at some of these cases and figure out when and evaluate more carefully. And you can't make it unsafe for an officer to do their job either. And as a society, we do have a problem where we're thinking that it's optional to obey the police. It's not. But that has been built up over years of distrust between officers and between civilians. And the police force might have to look at themselves and say, why is there such a level of distrust at this point? Why? Maybe you got to take a look at yourself too. It's a problem, and it's not going to go away. And just because society's sick of hearing about it doesn't mean it goes away.
Not at all.
Socrates called himself the stinging gadfly of Athens, and he was to annoy you and to make you look at something you didn't want to look at. And as a society, we need to look at things that we don't want to look at. And this is one of them. And if you're going to sit there and tell me that 90% of cops are good, I can tell you that you're wrong, because 90% of people aren't good. It's just not going to hold true. The split of good cops and bad cops is about probably as true as the split of good people and bad people. And if you think that's 90%, you're living in a dream world. 9 out of 10 people you meet are not good.
That's true. That's true. So we'll see what this, we'll follow this up later on down the road and see if anything happens to this police officer, former police officer. If he has any charges pending, or if they're just going to let him go home in his life and do whatever. Now, because he got fired by this department, does that mean he can't work for another department?
Not sure about that.
Because the cop that shot Tamir Rice tried to get other jobs too, so.
My guess is no. My guess is no police department's going to touch this guy. But the police union is fighting his termination.
Oh, well, there you go. So, it may not be over yet.
Yep. We about done for this week?
I think that's good for this week, man. I think we covered a lot of stuff here, and we'll look for some more stories that are there. Maybe talk a little Matrix 4 next week.
So, nope.
You know, just a piss cut off, and maybe he can rant about that. I'll get more details on that, and then hopefully I can have Scott do a rant on Matrix 4 next week.
Maybe.
All right, guys. We'll see you later. Peace.